This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Sammy Ray and the Friends. I'm Megan Aftermat, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, this was a super fun session, and I think really unique in the sense that Sammy uses her voice like an instrument, which we don't often get to see somebody who has that level of dexterity. Can you just talk a little bit about what it was like to watch them perform today?
The vocal range of Sammy is so impressive, and the way that Sammy sings, it just seems like there's no effort at all. It comes across so easily for her, and the band is so tight in the way that they just sort of pick up right where she lets off, and it's so fun to watch her. So I do suggest that you watch the videos of the performances. It's so fun to watch her performing and moving. It's very liquid and flowy, and the music comes out so naturally and so easily, and it's really fun to sing along to as well.
It is. What will we listen to first today?
There is a song called Thieves off the new record that we love. We've been playing it a lot here on WFUV because it is so good. It's about petty theft, but there's nothing petty about it. It is a really fun song, and it is on the radio now on WFUV, a live version of Thieves from Sammy Ray and the Friends. This is off the album Something for Everybody.
Set out right before me, a diamond in the rough. Some of us have got it made, martinis in the shade. But man, I got it tough like that.
Thank you.
a live version of Thieves from a band who has truly stolen my heart. Sammy Rae and the Friends. I am Alisa Ali here with the band and talking with Sammy Rae now. Welcome and thank you so much for coming in. That was very well played.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. Thanks.
Let's start off by introducing your friends.
Sure. So I am Sammy of Sammy Rae and the Friends. I'm the front person and primary vocalist and songwriter. We have Will Leet on background vocals and guitar. We have Debbie Chong on guitar, keys, and background vocals. We have Kellen Reese on alto saxophone and percussion. We have Max Zoy on tenor saxophone and synthesizers. James Quinlan on the bass. And Seabass Chittiboga on the drum kit.
I love that name, Seabass.
Yeah, Seabass, like the fish.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, short for Sebastian.
Okay, yes, I love that. So tell me how you collected this fantastic crew of friends.
Wow, nobody's ever said the word collected before, and I like that. I'm thinking of everybody like on a friendship bracelet or something.
I was thinking of you like with a basket, kind of picking them up from the ground, putting them in your basket.
What I think is interesting about this project, we all met on the New York City music scene, obviously, but we're from all different corners of the world, you know, and we come from all different walks of life. We grew up in all sorts of different households and all different sorts of studies of music. And we all kind of came to New York looking for the same thing, which is we want to make great music with great people in front of a great audience and be live as much as we possibly can. And, you know, coming into the city, really the first person in my family and not really having any idea how the heck to pursue the music industry. I was just going to as many open mics and jam sessions as I could. And after a while, you start to see the same faces and you go, wow, that person not only sounds great, but looks like they're having a great time up there. And I knew from the very beginning, from my early teens, that I wanted to be a band leader, not just that I wanted to be a songwriter or a singer, but that I wanted to be a part of a band. So my intention was always to pull together a very big band. And we met sort of through all different corners. I met James when I had a residency at a jazz club. I met Will and Seabass through the kids' music circuit. We were making children's music. I met Debbie through the like piano bar request Broadway sort of scene. And then the horns kind of came along through the open mic jam session scene. So we all just kind of met on our walk. And originally it was James on bass and myself. And we were kind of like, all right, let's make this thing. And as soon as everybody else sort of came in, it was very evident that everyone was going to stick around. And we've been this project for quite a while. And we consider ourselves a family first. And we intend to do it until we're too old to do it and then find new ways to keep doing it. Longevity.
That's amazing. And so you mentioned that you wanted to be a band leader. And I was reading a little bit about an aha moment that you had when you were a kid watching the VH1 Behind the Music special with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. So is this your version of the E Street Band, the Friends?
Oh, 150%. I think about, I had this vision. I had kind of a hard time making a lot of friends when I was a kid. And I had this aha moment watching Bruce. This was my songwriting aha moment on VH1 Storytellers, where somebody would just go up with one instrument and they would go sort of line by line and describe what was happening in their lyric process. So Bruce was doing that, and he started with Blinded by the Light, which to the untrained sort of like regular ear, the average music consumer, is just like nonsense syllables that happen to rhyme. But Bruce had this really significant explanation behind everything in that song. And I thought that that was so cool. And songwriting is like, and I'm like 11, and I'm like, songwriting is like secret code. I can talk about my feelings and like not really say how I'm feeling, but still like vent how I'm feeling. So that really helped me fall in love with songwriting. And then suddenly when I saw him in front of the E Street Band, I was like, oh my God, these rock bands just like hang out with their besties and like travel the world on a tour bus and jump up and down on stage, and they get paid to travel and see all sorts of different things. And I had this image of like, oh my gosh, I want to be in a band more than anything in the world. Like sort of the lunch table I always wanted.
You always wanted to sit at, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that became the goal. Was I'm not just going to write great songs and be a great songwriter. I'm going to do it with a collective of people that I can grow with. I don't want to just do this thing by myself. That doesn't sound like nearly as much fun as doing it in a hang.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you must have had a very early draw to music. You were probably singing when you were a tiny little thing.
Yeah, I was.
And what were you first attracted to? And do you still have affection for those songs of your youth?
My parents were, you know, teens of the 80s and they had me kind of young. So I actually came up on a lot of like heavy metal and hard rock.
That's so funny because I don't hear that in your music.
No, of course. And like Whitesnake and Ozzy Osbourne and Twisted Sister and big AC/DC, big Kiss and some glam rock. And I think there's a bit of glam in theater to what we do for sure. But then as that sort of evened out and so did my parents, and we all sort of matured together. It was a lot of bands. It was a lot of like the E Street Band and also like Fleetwood Mac and the Doobie Brothers and the Rolling Stones. And that idea of people coming together is what was really attractive to me. And I always had a harder time resonating with just somebody singing with one instrument. But from the time I was little, I think my parents could tell that I was very musically inclined, and bless them. When I was four, they started taking me to piano lessons, and then I stopped because I wanted to learn by ear and I didn't want to learn how to read sheet music. And what that turned out to be was, you know, she doesn't want to learn how to play piano and read sheet music. She wants to learn how to read chords and tabs and write music, write songs. So I stopped with keys after piano after a couple years. And then my parents were driving me 25 minutes away to the closest like local theater company they could find. And I was doing theater community shows from the time I was seven. And then when I was an early teen, I started taking songwriting lessons. And that was more, how do we construct a song? What is song form? What is, you know, how do we read chord sheets? So yeah, I mean, I grew up in a very small city, very wooded sort of area in the heart of Connecticut. I grew up in the smallest city in the state of Connecticut.
The pizza capital of the world.
Yeah, I'll speak on it. That's that 203, okay? New Haven. Don't even get me started.
I actually was driving through New Haven recently, and I saw that sign. I was like, as a New Yorker, I was like, come again?
This is a whole different interview. I could do this for an hour. I consider I'm passionate about a handful of things in this world. I'm passionate about good music and people coming together and making good music together. I'm passionate about the climate, and I'm passionate about quality Italian style pizza.
Yes.
That's what I grew up on.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up on.
But you're living in New York now and in Brooklyn, where some of the best pizza in the world, I have to say, is made.
Totally.
So are you still maintaining that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
203 till the end.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Interesting.
Well, here's the thing. I come from an Italian household, and it was my mother was always making pizza. She was making breakfast pizza, and then the leftover pizza would be lunch, and then she would make like Nutella dessert pizza, and I would take that to school. And I think there's something to be said about, I grew up on the same ingredients from the same place, made by the same sort of Italian in the same sort of place as New Haven. And I don't want to knock New York pizza. I'm not trying to do that. I can't. No, it can't be done.
No.
But I think there is something to be said about just like Pepe's and Sally's and so many of those iconic, like legendary places in New Haven. They've been doing it exactly the same way for so long. And in New York, of course, it's still authentic. But in Connecticut, there's such a high concentration of Italian Americans, and those families are so big. And I think it's cool to see in a smaller scale, like in New Haven, not in New York, these traditions and these recipes are passed down and down and down and down. I think an interesting fact is Frank Pepe's, famed Pepe's Pizza in New Haven, there's something like 10 different locations across the U.S. now, and every single one has a copy of the cast iron oven. It's an exact replica of the first one. So they're really doing everything they can to maintain that New Haven style thin crust pizza.
With clams on it?
Please.
Oh, God.
White clam with the garlic. You could see with the parsley fresh. Oh, my God. I'm crying just thinking about it. I can't believe it. It's so good. It's a white pie. A white pie and a red pie are two totally different categories.
They really are. And I'm. You have more. More white pie for you. But anyway, I'm so glad we went on this pizza tangent because I also have a very deep love for a New York slice.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, New York Slice is a local music feature that I have on my show. And you are a local band, so we love you extra much because you are from our backyard. You're our neighbors. You're our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this new record, I think I have neglected to even mention your new album. It's got something for everybody.
Yeah. Too busy talking about pizza.
Exactly. but the album is called Something for Everybody. You know, there's an Elvis album called that, too.
I do know that. I had to Google that. And I was not, for a second, I was like, do we call it Something for Everybody and throw an apostrophe in there? And then I realized that really messes up the metadata and the back end stuff online. Yeah. So I think Elvis wouldn't mind. I guess.
Yeah.
And no, also you can't copyright an album title.
No,
so.
No. But it truly does have something for everybody.
That's the
and
idea.
I want to get into another song from this album and talk a little bit about the recipe for this gorgeous, scatalicious song you're about to play for us.
Yeah.
No Rule Book.
It's called No Rule Book.
There are no rules.
As there's no rules.
No.
The thing with this band has always been just do... Listen, we're seven different contributing arranging members who come from all different sorts of musical walks of life and inspirations. And we're constantly learning from and with each other about what's happening to ourselves and to the greater music industry and combining all of our influences. And for a while, this is sort of where the title of the record comes from. For a while, that was sort of a point of self-consciousness of I don't really know. I'm not quite sure what we do. Right. There's a couple things you can hear and go, oh, that's that Friends. That's exactly. Of course, this is a Friends song. But we've come to learn over the years or feel over the years that that range is our superpower. And why would we limit ourselves? Right. Our logo is the ampersand. And we're big on the like why or when you could and, you know, and we love and energy. So let's do this and that and that and that. And the kind of backbone motto of this project has always been like the tireless pursuit of the most authentic self. As soon as it stops feeling authentic, you got to get out of there. And sometimes in trying to be authentic and pursue the true self, there's a lot of changing from day to day. And there's a lot of just like trying stuff until something sticks. So No Rule Book is actually a song that we had written a couple years ago that was really just sort of like a vehicle for solos where I would sing that chorus. You know, there's no rule book. We're making it up. And then somebody would solo for like 32 bars and somebody would just make something up. And it was different every night and it was really special. And coming back around for this record, we figured it just really fit that theme of there's something for everybody, us just being our authentic selves, trying stuff until stuff, throwing stuff at the wall until it sticks. And most Friends songs are very much about not taking yourself too seriously, just really indulging in like the small joys of life. And this is a perfect example of that, right? If you don't know what's going on, you got to make it up. You try something and do something. Everybody's making it up, right? Everybody's just trying to figure it out as we go along. And that's what this tune is about. And it's set to a very sort of jazzy R&B slow jam sort of energy. If you read too much into it, it's like, you know, maybe that first time, don't worry, baby girl, we're just going to make it up, right? We're just going to figure it out. If you read too much into it, on the surface level, it's just about figuring it out. Just trying stuff until something sticks.
Live in Studio A, Sammy Ray and the Friends.
There's no rule book. There's no handbook, we're making it up. There's no rule book, there's no handbook, we're making it up. Making it up. Too hot to be cool. Too cool to get high. No idea how to do it, do it, do it. You'll make it up on the spot. Cause if you don't really know what's going on, you gotta make it up and try something, do something, anything. Make it up. We don't really know what's going on. We make it up. We try something, do something, anything. Make it up. There's no rule book. There's no handbook. We'll be right back. we make it up, try something, do something, anything, make it up. It's no rule book, it's no handbook, I'm making it go. Oh, there's no rule book, there's no handbook, we're making it up, we're making it.
No Rule Book, a live version of that song performed right here in Studio A at WFUV from Sammy Ray and the Friends. That is a song from the brand new album, Something for Everybody. It is the full-length debut from Sammy Ray and the Friends. And I am Elise Ali here talking with Sammy Ray. Congratulations on the new record. I love that version of the song you perform. So slinky and sexy and cool.
Thank you.
And I wanted to say what a delight it is to watch you guys all performing live. You look like you're having such a good time. And what is it about your performance and how do you bring the crowd in? What is that secret sauce to turn the audience into friends as well?
Oh my gosh, what a cool question. Well, the name of the band, The Friends, came about in it's almost a parody. It came about in quite a funny way when I was starting to go to shows in New York and just seeing as many shows as I could see. Solo artists would be going, it would be like Jane Doe on a poster and then in little tiny words, and Friends. Or like John Smith and Friends. And you would go and see John Smith and the lowercase f Friends. And that's like who John Smith could find that was available for that day and who wanted to play. And chances are there'd be another band the next time John Smith was on stage. But I would go see this show. John Smith was great. But the bassist was killing. It would blow my mind. And I would get his name like really fast at the very end and try to make it out over applause what that person's name was. And so I wanted to sort of flip that on its head and be like, this project is going to be about community, and it's going to be about highlighting everybody's individual strengths, and you're going to see the same people every time. So I capitalized the F in Friends and said, we're not just friends, we're the Friends. That's the name of this project. And from the very beginning, we've kind of held the mentality that we just need to continue to figure out ways to say thank you, because it's not nearly as much about us as it is the audience. And that sounds kind of cliche, so I will elaborate. We're traveling around the world with our best friends, living out our dreams and living out our childhood aspirations. And that's, simply put, can't happen unless the audience shows up. It's the generosity of the audience with their time, with their energy, with their finances even, that helps get us on stage. We can't do it if the audience doesn't show up. And therefore, it's our responsibility to do everything we can and make them feel welcomed into the space and make them feel that gratitude. You know, the project is, we're just the seven friends that you see all the time, but the community is this band. That's what it is. And so it's a lot about listening to the audience, listening to what they like and making more of that music, making eye contact with everybody. People are, oh, we want to dress up for shows. Okay, let's think up some themes. We would like to hear you talk more about these sorts of causes. All right, let's get a booth next to the merch table and you can educate yourselves after the show. You know, I really like your show, but I would like it to be a more accessible and sensory friendly environment. So we try to do what we can to accommodate as many people as possible. And everybody's invited. It's been really cool to watch the community grow over time. It's really just people from sort of all different sorts of people. And this cool thing's been happening recently where folks who look like our parents and grandparents have been showing up, because they show up with their as we extend to let's do everything we can to have every show be all ages so that folks under 18 can attend. Typically those like 15-year-olds who love the Friends that can now come to shows will come with their parents or their grandparents. So now we've got not just folks our age, folks over 21, but we've also got like 15-year-olds and 55-year-olds. And so to accommodate that, we very rarely will do any full band covers that came out after 1980. That's kind of the marker that we have. We try to keep all of our full band covers like pretty throwbacky and vintage to say thanks to the older folks in our crowd for coming and supporting us. So there's a lot of thought that goes into how can we make this space as accessible and welcoming to as many people as possible, with special attention to those in our crowd who might be neurodivergent, special attention to those in our crowd who are part of the queer community. And those are things that apply to a lot of folks in this band. So the big hope is that you can look on stage and you can see seven different people with all sorts of identities from all different races and walks of life and ways of coming up and corners of the world, being friends together and collaborating and sharing their talents and creating something that is bigger than them and being authentically themselves, and feel hopefully inspired to do the same as you watch that and walk out of there. And we close every show with this mantra that just fell out of my mouth at one of our early shows. It was in front of like 100 people. And I said, okay, thanks for coming. Go put a smile on somebody's face. Go tell somebody they've got a place in this world. Go tell somebody you want to be friends with them. And we've been doing that at every single show all over the world since then. And that's sort of like the mantra behind the whole thing.
I love that. So instead of collecting fans, you're collecting friends.
That's the idea.
That is beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Friends, for joining us here in Studio A at WFUV, your radio home. And I hope that you will come home to WFUV again for your next album. And we'll close out this session with a live version of Coming Home from the new album, Something for Everybody, from Sammy Ray and the Friends here on WFUV.
Authority issue, wish you would listen to somebody, even yourself, every once in a while. La, 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 la. Get some initiative, wish you'd stop walking a walk, baby. How do you talk to your poor inner child? And cut off your hair if it's too long. Write yourself a coming home song. Learn from the things that you've done wrong and leave a light on for yourself. Doing all right in a damn crime. Feeling it all for the first time and you're just getting into your prime. Leave a light on for yourself. Ooh, yeah. There's no saints in the stars. There's no signs in a ceiling. You get a good feeling, you go. See, I'm trying to help you. If you don't want my perspective, why don't you get yourself over it? Go ahead. La, 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 la. And cut off your hair if it's too long.
picked me up.
That was Sammy Ray and the Friends performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to Network Music Group. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara and Nadia Garriga. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Simone Yanez and Catherine Sherman. Megan Aftermat is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV live sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.